Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble. In this world, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be giving? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? In this world, there's a whole lot of sorrow. World, there's a whole lot of shame. In this world, there's a whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of ground to gain. When you spend your whole life wishing, wanting and wondering why, it's a long enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? World, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, there's a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. There's a star on the far horizon. There's an abide in the azure sky. For the rest of the time you've been given, why walk when you can fly?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it didn't sound like that when Tom sang it. Hey, thank you all so much. The band is, you all led us in worship today, and we are very grateful for your ministry. And thank you. Thank you so much. I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that the time of the preaching will be as well used as the time of the singing and the praying and the worshiping. So I ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to be not only in the sanctuary, but to be with anyone who is listening to these words at this time, that you would bless the words and use the sermon and guide the preacher. Thank you for your guidance in all the preparation. Now, as the words are spoken, may you guide them as well, that they would speak to the hidden spaces of our hearts that need your ministry. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we're in the sermon series. If you're just joining us for the first time, we're in the sermon series called Mission Impossible. And we've asked you to take on two habits that you'll do for 5 weeks. I actually think that these are habits of the Christian life, not just habits for a few weeks. But many of you have told me that quantifying these habits has been helpful. So the first one was to, do you remember? First one was to what? Bless. And I asked you to bless three people during the week. And then the second one was, last week I said, would you please eat three meals with other people? And in those meals, listen and build relationships and get to know people, but make the meal its own blessing, essentially. So what I'd like you to do is, last week I had a little moment of accountability. I had you raise your hand if you actually did it, and this week I'm going to do something different. I want you to turn to the people around you and name either a time when someone blessed you, and someone blessing you is a good thing, and we need to accept that, or a time when you blessed someone this week, or maybe a meal that you shared that was really, really important to you, and you feel like God used that meal to do some good thing in your life or in someone else's life. So I want you to turn, and I'd like you to speak to someone you are not related to, which means, and this is going to be hard for Methodists because we feel like our bodies can't turn in worship, but they can. You can turn around to somebody behind you and just say, hey, do you have a story like that where you blessed someone or had a meal with someone that really mattered? You have 90 seconds, and the clock starts now. 90 seconds. You can stand up and walk around. All right. Come on back. Come on back. If you talk to somebody and they're just like, I didn't bless anybody this week, you might just say, well, you know, this whole world's got a whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of pain, so you might want to pray about that. And that actually leads us to our third habit. So these habits are found in this slide. This is the book Michael Frost wrote called Surprise the World. We've been using this book to guide this sermon series. You can get this electronically, and you can't get it in paper anymore. It's a quick read, but it's really worthwhile. It's really worthwhile. It just talks about these basic habits that God will use in your life. We're in this time. The reason we're doing this series is we're in this time where, honestly, it's just a thing every week, isn't it? Do you realize it was only a few weeks ago we were talking about Charlottesville? And then since then has been Texas, Louisiana, this hurricane, right? I mean, and it's just like every week. So we have to be empowered because we are. We are not on a mission that's impossible. We are on a mission that is possible. And so we bless people, we eat people with people, we don't eat people, we eat with people. That's a really important distinction. But today we're going to talk about a third habit, which is listening to God. Because so often as Christians, we want to go out in the world and we want to make a difference, and we do it without any sense of divine direction. And sometimes it doesn't go very well. Sometimes it doesn't go very well. So we're going to learn about prayer. By the way, if you're a parent, and you've got children or grandchildren down in Kid Nation, they are going to be talking about prayer today, and this is a prayer wall that they've made that's down on the wall downstairs that you can see if you go down there, and that's chicken wire, and they're going to be putting their prayers inside that wiring. So today, when you pick up your kids, they're going to have talked about prayer. We're talking about prayer. You see what we're doing here? You see how it all works out? So I want to invite you just to open up this conversation, ask them what they learned, tell them what you learned, and have a conversation. Now, there are all kinds of prayer, and all of them are important. Sometimes our prayers are confession. You know, we talk to God about what we've done wrong, and it's pretty important to do that as words. Because when I list my prayers of confession, I experience humility. And my sins should not just grieve God, they should grieve me. So prayers of confession aren't about guilt, but they are about processing transformation. Sometimes we do what we do every Sunday in worship, and we put a list up of people's names. And I hope you've got a list of names somewhere and situations that you're praying for. I mean, certainly all the people who have been affected by these hurricanes, we're praying in the Caribbean and in other locations where we're praying for them. We should do that. Friends that are sick, friends that are in trouble. We pray for the needs of the world, whether it's here or whether it's in Syria or Jordan or, you know, there's so many places in the world where the things are hard. So we do words well. But sometimes we can do words so well that we're like, we're guilty of what Jesus said. You're praying like pagans who just babble, babble, talk, talk, talk. Stop talking. So what I want to do today is teach you how to listen to God. And I want to give you some steps. So some of you like to take notes. You might pull out your pen and use your bulletin, but just write some of this down. It'll help you maybe later. Because so often we don't take time to listen, and when we don't take time to listen, then we don't allow God to have a way to speak to us, and it's gotten harder to listen to God because you live in a world today where your mind is occupied all the time. All the time. You know, there used to be a time where you didn't walk down the street like this. I was driving this week in a residential section of our community, and I started to take a turn, and there was a guy on the sidewalk who was right, my car came up along next to him, and he was doing just like this, and I thought, he is not going to see me. And I started putting on the brakes, anticipating this. And right when he got to that moment, he did. He looked up all of a sudden. But I think from the look on his face, I think he was a little surprised where he was relative to the crosswalk. There was a time where people didn't have any of these. It was like 10 years ago. Back in the olden days, as Megan calls them, the throwback days of the 90s, 80s, and 70s. You may remember that. And what I find is that even in our home, like, you know, you can walk around with an iPad or a device, a tablet, right? You're walking up the stairs and you're walking, and there's just never time where you have blank space for your mind. God uniquely uses blank space. So think about the margin. This is a type sheet of paper. Anybody know what the dimension of this margin is around the paper? 1 inch. That's been the standard margin for type pages since time began, I guess. And so, you know, I remember being in college and the professor said it was a 2-page document. I had too many words. I know you're shocked. And so what I do, I just made them 1/2-inch margins. Right? You know the game, right? That's how you play the game. And I turned it in. This was back in the old days when you did this. You typed this on an ancient device called the typewriter. And when the professor handed it back and said, I am tired just looking at this. And no, you're not getting away with that 1/2-inch margin. It meant you had to retype the whole, anybody remember this? The whole document had to be retyped, right? And I was like, woe is me, you know. But what happened is when he looked at it, he just knew the lack of margin was making him tired. You've got to have margin. Now, it's funny, if you show people a document like this and you say, what percentage of the paper is the white space? Many people will say 10 to 15%. See it? What percentage is the white space? The white space is actually 37.4%. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you something. Does your life have 37% blank space? Anybody? No, my parents are in their 80s and complain about how busy they are. And I'm like, Like, if you can't figure this thing out now, it's just, there is a way to get a lot of blank space, but you don't want to do that, you know? It's just figure it out before heaven, you know? And so I would just observe that this blank space is not a space of waste or inefficiency. It is a space where God can actually speak to us. And it's really important. Margin is important. And so Michael Frost gives these four steps in his book. And the first one is this. The first thing, if you're going to create some blank space to hear God, again, I'm not talking about prayers where you talk to God. Those are okay. We all know how to do those, I think. Talking about the prayer where you listen, and this is the one that I think most Christians today don't know how to do. So first thing is this. Set aside a designated time. And can I suggest something that you do this today for 20 minutes, sometime today? You have a gorgeous day, and I'm giving you a reason to sit outside by yourself. Are you hearing me? Consider this a favor. You know, God calls us to Sabbath and worship not because God longs for it, but because God loves us. God wants you to have some blank space. Because God loves you. But I think the Lord also wants to speak to you. So when you set aside this designated time, the first thing that you have to do is realize the world's going to keep running while I'm here for 20 minutes. It's all going to be okay. You know, people in Florida right now are saying to themselves, it's going to be okay. Because it feels like everything is swirling around them. And we have to trust God for this. And some of us feel like if I stop for 20 minutes, the world, my family, everything won't be okay. Everybody say it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, why do you have to set aside time? Because what you're trying to do is get some orders from God. Raise your hand if you've ever been in the U.S. military of any branch of the service. Just raise your hand. So those of you who have been in the branch of service, let me ask you something. Did you ever do anything without orders? Did you ever, if you were in the Army, did you ever deploy into the field without orders? Those of you who are in the Air Force, any Air Force folks? Any flyers? Okay, did you ever take off in an airplane with a squadron and you get up in the air and then somebody goes, hey, what are we doing anyway? And the squadron commander said, I don't know, I just thought we'd fly for a while. How much fuel do you have? Where do you feel like going? In the Navy, they don't put ships on water without orders. But I want you to think about your life. How often do you pause to listen, to receive some measure of influence from the Holy Spirit? How much blank space is in your life for that? So Michael Frost, honestly, when I read it, I was like, this is going to be the most unambitious sermon ever. He says, could you do 20 minutes once a week to begin? Just 20 minutes once a week for silence. Now, this is called centering prayer. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to set aside a designated time to listen. Second thing is you're going to do this. You're going to bring up the slide. There's your cue. There we go. Oh, sorry. It's because I gave you the wrong thing. Thank you. But that helps me to put the slide up because now I know what I'm talking about. The reason you have to do this is, like the people in the military or the people at work in a business or wherever, you're on a mission. You're a missionary. So this is where God's going to help you with your mission. So the second thing I want you to do, set aside time. Second thing is this, eliminate your distractions. First thing you want to do is not have this thing in your pocket where it's going to start vibrating or chirping at you. Take this and, like a boomerang, throw it as hard as you can out of window. That's just what it'll feel like you'll want to do. Now, just lay this aside. Get rid of all the screens. Get rid of all of them for this time. You might tell your family that you need 20 minutes and that you're going to talk to God. If you say it that way, they're going to be like, whoa, I don't want to mess with that, you know. But you also might just get some space by yourself. Jesus said to do this. He said, go into, when you pray, he said, next slide, please. He said, go into your room. Read it with me. stop. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's interesting that even in his time in the first century, he had to tell people, close the door. Humans have always found it hard to sit alone with God. You're not new. This isn't a new problem. And he said, after you close the door, read it with me, pray to your Father who is unseen. And this is where it gets a little hard because you're used to talking back and forth and hearing. And then your Father, and this is so lovely, who sees what is done in secret. That's either very good news or very bad news. But in this case, it's really good news, isn't it? That God's with you. And I love it that Jesus promises that God's going to be with me when I sit alone and seek the Lord. And then Jesus says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, when you talk to North Americans about rewards, instantly they think of what? Yeah, cash rewards. Because, you know, that's what your credit card gives you, and that's what you're, it's just on. But the reward is not one more blessing. Friend, look around you right now. There's a roof over your head. In Virginia, there's a beautiful day outside. You're with people. You're with people that if you had a medical emergency right now, they would take care of you all the way to the hospital. And then there'd be a hospital. You've already got your rewards, friend. The reward Jesus speaks of here is not a cash bonus. The presence of God in your life is the greatest reward that many of us never take time to seek. Just to know you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone is the reward. So we have to set aside time, and then we have to get rid of distractions. Now, here's what happens when you do centering prayer. Often what will happen is you'll be trying to quiet yourself. And when I do that, I'm like, here's what my brain will do. Avocado. We haven't had guacamole in some time. I'd like some guacamole. The last time we made guacamole, we had too many tomatoes in it. I didn't like it that much. I wish there would have been more salt in the guacamole. It was, you see, I mean, does that happen to you? So here's what you do. Picture time-lapse photography where they show something slow that happens really, really fast. So picture these thoughts as a branch of a tree that's empty, but now suddenly a bud is coming out, and just let it come out, blossom, and wither and fall off and fall to the ground. Avocado. Salt, you know, I would like to have guacamole. We had too many tomatoes. Just let it go. Don't go, I'm a really bad Christian because I'm thinking about guacamole. Don't do that. You have more than enough guilt in your life already, don't you? Let's just not make this into guilt. Just let them just fall to the ground. It's okay, I've got 20 minutes. Now, what some people do is they'll keep a pad of paper next to them and they'll just write stuff down. Like if they think, get avocado, they'll write avocado. I can't do that because I'll make a whole list and then go to the store. But some people, that really helps them. And if that helps you, awesome. I actually have a whole different regiment with a list that I keep on a computer program because I'm super nerdy. So here I'm just going to be quiet. One thing that helps a lot of people in centering prayer is to use words like this. There's an old Aramaic word in the Revelation of John, Maranatha. Would you say that with me? Maranatha. So what some people will do is when they start getting distracted and they're thinking avocado, what they do is they'll just say the word, and it's sort of a sacred word. I don't mean sacred like it's magic. I mean it's a biblical word. And they'll say either Maranatha or they'll say it in English, come Lord Jesus. Now originally this was a prayer for the second coming, and right now I'm just wide open to the second coming. Second coming is awesome. But what I'm really doing is I'm invoking the spirit of the risen Christ. So maybe I'll use the old biblical word, and I'm avocado, and I'll just think, Maranatha. It recenters me. But maybe I'll say the English, come Lord Jesus. I might say that 20 times during the course of this prayer, maybe 100. Now, another thing that people will teach you is what's called a breath prayer. And when you breathe on the intake, it's Lord Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Lord Jesus Christ. And then as you exhale, you'll say, have mercy on me. Now, I'm going to make a motion. And when I do this, you're going to whisper Lord Jesus Christ as you take air into your mouth. And as I do this, you're going to say, have mercy on me as you exhale. I know this feels a little weird, but we're all going to do this together. It's all good. Trust me. Ready? One, two, three. Lord Jesus Christ. Just whisper it. Just whisper it. Have mercy on me. Now whisper it again. Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me. Sometimes my mind is moving so that I'll do that for 5 minutes. Why? Because somehow it just helps center me. And there's no magic in these words. These are just sacred words. Third thing that you might want to think about is you have to let God in. That's why the invitation, those two things I just taught you, are ways to let God in. But one of the most important things about letting God in is to keep your bottom in your chair for 20 minutes. I've written a couple of small books. You know what I've learned about writing even the small books? You have to keep your bottom in the chair. Because when I stand up to go sharpen 5 pencils and search for the best pen or clean the computer screen, those are all just tactics not to do the thing that I want to do because what I'm trying to do is hard. Sitting alone for 20 minutes, listening to God, will initially feel difficult to you because you're not programmed this way. And these things are making it doubly hard because now you're distracted all the time, all the time, all the time. And you feel like whenever you have a moment of silence, you're wasting time. When in ancient times, silence was seen as filling the mind. But I have to ask the Holy Spirit to come into my life because I so desperately need its guidance. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can avoid blessing 3 people in 7 days like nobody's business. And I can come to church and realize, did I really do that? I'm the type of person that has to be really intentional. And what I want is I want God to guide me. Because I think in the world right now, there are people that would be blessed for the blessing that I bring. I think you are just wonderful person. And people need us to wade into the water and to bring the blessing. But I need God to guide me. If I don't have God to guide me, I'm going to walk just with my eyes closed and I'll start banging into people and going where I don't need to be. And what I want is I want to feel the hands of the Holy Spirit on my shoulders. And I want the Holy Spirit just to gently guide me through my day. Now, Barbara, would you bring me? I'm gonna do that thing that we did this morning at the 8 o'clock service. Here's what I want in my prayer time. I want God to like stick it right in front of my face, and I can go, oh, here's what I'm supposed to do. That would be fantastic. That's not what this is. Thank you. Centering prayer is not God sticking 3 things. So if you're waiting for that to happen, it probably won't. But when you engage in this type of prayer, here's what will happen. you'll find yourself walking through your day and you'll feel God's grace meeting you at certain locations. It's called prevenient grace, when God meets us ahead of time. And it's like, and when you get there, you're going to have eyes that'll, you'll have spiritual senses. You'll have eyes that'll see. And you'll be like, that's what I'm supposed to do right now. Sometimes what you'll find is you're walking with your eyes closed through your life, your spiritual eyes are closed, and you're just about to just trip over something that's going to be a real problem. And you'll find God just gently take your shoulders and bring you away from it or pull you back from it. So in all these ways, whether it's avoiding sin or doing good, you'll begin to find that God will begin to speak to you if you let God in. And so then what that means is you'll begin to follow God's promptings. And here's why this is really important. There's a text in the Bible in John 17, and from that text we've sort of had this expression. It's called, be in the world, but not of the world, which means we want to be these joyful, loving, good people that other people find intriguing. Because if Jesus is really a part of our lives, other people should be able to see it. That's, you know, that's what's so frustrating to so many people in the world, is that we call ourselves Christians, but we're exactly like the rest of the world. And there are kind of two extremes. Two extremes. On the one hand, we can withdraw from the world because we're like, I'm not of the world. I'm like Jesus. I'm not of the world. And when we do a total withdrawal, Christians can be very judgmental. And we critique and critique and, well, you know what the problem is? And these people and those people and everybody but me is just terrible. And it's judge, judge, judge. Or we'll become really withdrawn. We're just like, well, I don't really have any relationships. Heaven forbid I would have a relationship with somebody who's not a Christ lover. They may infect me. No, that's just withdrawal. And at worst, we can become so self-righteous, just like the Pharisees Jesus interacted with. Not all the Pharisees were self-righteous, but some were. Same with Christians. Now, on the other hand, we can run to the world and we can say, no, I want to be in the world. I'm going to be out there. And then we can become so of the world that there's no difference between our lifestyle and the world's lifestyle. So we go to a party and we drink so much that we become drunk. And there's no witness in that. You're not special if you have learned to drink too much. Amen? Hey, amen? Right? Everybody knows how to do that. Or we get drunk on words and we gossip. And we go to the school thing and we talk about other people's kids. Or we gather at the pool. And while the kids are in the pool, all the adults are on the side, snarking on the people from the other pool. Right? And rather than, you know, really being concerned about each other, we become gossipy and condemning of others. Or we become gluttons. I mean, just so many, this can happen in so many ways. So that part of the reason I need silence is I can be in either of those two spaces. My name's Tom, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, and I'm like that. Without Jesus. And that's why Jesus is really, when I attend to that relationship, that's why Jesus is such a dear friend. Because he just helps me be the best me I can be. So, I suggested to you four steps. Do you remember the first one? Set aside time. Do you remember the second one? Eliminate distractions. Do you remember the third one? Let God in. Do you remember the fourth one? Follow God's direction. That's called centering prayer. And so this week, what I want to ask you to do is three things. Three things. And they're going to be on a card, and the ushers are going to give you these cards on the way out if you didn't get one last week. Is that right, ushers? Raise your hand if that's right. Ushers, is that right? Good, thank you. I want you to bless three people. I want you to eat with three people. I want you to listen to God. Those are the first three habits. That's what we're working on this week. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord, thank you. Thank you for these habits. Thank you. Thank you for such a calm sermon. I don't think I've ever preached such a calm sermon. I'm feeling more like you led things than me today. And I pray that we'd all have that opportunity to spend time with you silently and then arise from those 20 minutes and know that we're loved and know that it's okay and know that during the week, in remarkable ways, you're going to meet us and we're going to be your servants and we're going to bless others and we're going to listen to them carefully. And as we bless and eat and listen, we will be transformed in your love. And I pray for everyone to receive such a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.